Welcome aboard, a Saturday night in Los Angeles, a two-hour version of Open Mind tonight. My name is Bill Gekas. We're going to take you into another world. Some have flitted in and out of there from time to time. Another world of science, too. We want to touch on a little bit that we didn't get to touch on last week because the Dodgers decided to play baseball all night long. And, well, it's going to be a good night. Stay right in there with us. Our guest tonight, this is what, second, third time? Diane Morrissey is with us, and we're going to talk, about one of my favorite subjects, the out-of-body experience. But for some, it comes in a traumatic way, the near-death experience. More and more people are talking about that, aren't they?
Now over 25 million people have had them.
Is there still that same consistency, that same thread, that they're all telling the same story?
There are so many similarities between each near-death experience, even though people come from hundreds of different kinds of backgrounds and belief systems.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit how you got into this, Diane, and the organization that has that you're very much a part of, as you explain
right.
And you look into this phenomenon.
Well, it all started with me back in 1977 when I was getting ready to have a party in my home and cleaned my fish tank, and in the middle of the cleaning process was electrocuted and found myself suddenly out of body. And paramedics were called, and I was dead for about 22, 23 minutes and unconscious for about 45. And was totally aware that I was out of my body, that all the consciousness within me was walking around my home. Found myself going through a tunnel, later seeing the light and meeting a person on the other side, which I, even now, do not know who she was. But that experience in those 23, 28 minutes changed my entire life. And
to the better?
Absolutely.
In what way did that change your life? What are you doing now? And, in a very basic way, although you're the way of making a living is a little bit different, but in terms of the way you think about the world you live in, the way you relate to other people, the way you relate to why you were here, how has that changed all that?
Well, I'm just convinced that in some way, and I'm not sure how it is, we are all hooked together by some force that is real, that exists. And everything we do say and touch affects everything else that we do say and touch. And
isn't this what the religionists have been teaching us all along?
That's true. I just never felt quite the same way before the near-death experience as after.
Mm-hmm.
And had some psychic things that happened to me after the experience that I thought I was crazy. And my first phone call was after hearing Dr. Thelma Moss on Michael Jackson's show here in the afternoon one day, and called the station, and she changed my life, and I'm so glad that I got into the field and help others now that have also felt they were strange or unusual because they had one or two experiences that they simply couldn't explain. And it really makes me feel wonderful when somebody says, wow, I know I'm not crazy.
Well, I'm glad you listened to KABC one day. You see?
Me too.
It pays to listen, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? So glad to have you aboard, and I thank you for letting us conduct a little experiment that we wanted to conduct last week.
Sure.
We have 2 hours, to talk about
this. For sure.
Last week, I wanted John Bedini with us, and I wanted you to experience optophonics. Optophonics is a whole new audio science that does amazing, amazing things. John, do you want to tell us what we're going to listen to here? We're going to, number one, this is for the speakers.
Well, we're just going to test with some master tapes to see if we can get this through the transmitter tonight without being affected by the limiters. And if the people out there have a con system, it would be advisable if they use that, because we will be in a left minus right situation.
Well, a con system now is for those that have AM stereo
right.
At home, because KABC is an AM stereo station.
Otherwise, on the mono receiver, you may either notice a pumping situation to where the receiver sounds like it is coming up in volume and going back down, and that's because of the phasing process that we're experimenting with tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the volume will increase. Way out there at a distance.
Way out there in a distance. We're certainly interested in hearing from people who, like in San Diego, we heard a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Volume seemed to increase, or the modulation increased by about 40% or something like that.
All right. We're just trying, what we're trying to do with this process right now, since the scalar technology, what we want to try to do is fill up the carrier.
And that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you have your AM stereo set there and you can listen on earphones, you might find it even more fun.
Mm-hmm. Because either on a pair of headphones with this one process, you might notice that in open air, the volume will increase with this one process, but in headphones will decrease, but you will have a left and a right.
Okay, so it'll be a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
We've never really heard this on AM radio before. So let's give it a try, and we'd like to know your reaction on that, okay? Now, that was Optophonics on AM. If you were listening on your con system, you were getting a different effect. What should they have gotten there, John?
Well, they should have got a center image, and they should have had a stereo simulation completely. Instead of a left minus right, they should have had an actual stereo source.
And if they were listening at a great distance from here, they should have found that we were much louder.
Yes.
Because we're modulating.
But remember, this was mono.
Yes.
This is a mono tape that we played, mm-hmm. but it's just mastered in Optophonics, which meant that it really wasn't stereo, but it was.
Well, Optophonics is not stereo, and it's not mono.
It's not mono.
It's neither of those.
Mm-hmm.
We have another little test thing for them to hear. We'll see what this does for us here.
Night is so long. Is it hard to be so?
So everything is working. I'd be quite interested to find out what you're hearing out there. If you would call us at our numbers, 520-TALK in Los Angeles, 990-TALK in the San Fernando Valley, Orange County, 750-TALK. All the numbers end in TALK, as you know. Burbank, Glendale, and Pasadena, your number is 244-448-TALK in the San Gabriel Valley. In the South Bay, it's 679. And if you're in Long Beach, San Pedro, and Paramount, the number is 639. And one of the first shots ever on AM radio at a new system called Optophonics. And we again want to thank Diane Morrissey for letting us do this experiment, which we were supposed to do last week. But the Dodgers played 14 innings, and so that took care of Open Mind. That first time that they knocked us all the way out. And as I recall, they did a lot of playing and didn't win anyway. It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you there? Hello? Have we knocked out the telephone? William, where are you? Am I got all the switches right here? Everything? All right, Edson, you're on. Hello, Edson? Edson? Yeah, we've got everything not quite working here. Our telephones are not working. Well, that's all right. Hello, who's there?
Hi.
Yeah, who's this, Edson?
This is Edson.
Hello, Edson.
Hey, something's going on here tonight. They really mixed up the airwaves. Yeah, I listen to a lot of shortwave radio, and I'm wondering if the optophonic system might enhance the radio reception.
I don't know. Did it enhance what you heard?
Yes, it did. It's like a third-dimensional sound effect.
Third dimension? In what way would that be third dimension to you?
Depth and width and... I'm actually there hearing the song and hearing the music on one side and the...
And you're listening to... Are you listening on the Con stereo system or just a regular AM receiver?
I'm just listening on one monaural speaker and it's coming over like it's three speakers. One in front of me and two on the, either side of my ears. So.
You got one speaker, but you're hearing it like in stereo. Almost.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well... I'm looking at my engineer, Donald O'Connor, in there, and he's shaking his head at all of that.
Okay.
But you know what you're hearing. Okay, Edson, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate that input. William, now maybe we've got this working. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, what I heard on the first song, there might have been a problem with the limiters, I don't know, but the voice was coming over a little distorted. The rest of the music was coming over pretty much fine. On the second one, though, there was a different effect, and the drums seemed to almost have the effect that a ventriloquist would have on a voice. In other words, the drums would come out and they would echo around the room.
And you have one speaker?
Right.
So you were getting strange things happening?
Sort of echoey images on the second one, echoes off the walls that I don't usually get. I mean, I listen to this radio all the time, and I have it on other stations, and I don't get the effect of those drums echoing that way.
Did you find it pleasant?
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure. You might have been overmodulating or something, you know, through the carrier, because some of the voices were...
We could have overmodulated on the cart that we put that on.
Right.
The little broadcast cart that we have to use here. So you
can right.
put optophonics on anything. And I'm not good at doing that, in fact. It got done. But I appreciate that, William.
Thank you.
We're going to play one more thing for you here in just a second, and it'll be sort of interesting.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Glad to have you aboard on that.
Thank you.
So, John, things are happening with your optophonics out there that is quite different for someone listening on AM radio with one speaker.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what their reaction is with Colin EV.
Colin EV.
Yeah.
All right. Again, we want to thank Diane Morrissey, who is just patiently sitting here as we do our little experiment.
It's a real important test because we want to see if we can fill up the whole carrier wave.
All right, now Colony V is...
Which is impossible. You shouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah, what we're doing is impossible, so hang on for this. Thank you. All right, there is a little bit more of Optophonics for you, and I'm anxious to get some of your reactions, and we'll go to those in just a second. It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. About the near-death experience and the old out-of-body experience, and she has very graciously decided to listen to some Optophonics, something we were to do last week and couldn't, but we were certainly get into one of my favorite subjects, and that's going out of body. And, of course, all of the things that has to do with the research that's going into, we call it the near-death experience, but it's more than that. Something that we all are going to have to deal with at one time or another. But let's go on with our experiment for just a moment here. We have Roger on the line. Hello, Roger.
How you doing, Bill?
Fine.
I was wondering if you, by any chance, had heard of two other technologies that deal with pseudo-360-degree recording process. One is called holophonics, mm-hmm. and another one is called spherical sound.
I know about holophonics. They are experimenting with that over at KLOS.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard the term of spherical sound, that company?
I haven't, but maybe John has, who's here.
Yes, I've heard it.
You have.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, you have completed the entire 360-degree realm of recording, including all, you know, spatial localization.
Yes, we have. And it's only because we go through an optical process.
An optical process?
Yeah. See, our processor is optical. Everybody else is analog. What we do is take the analog signals and convert them into an optical. And that way we get the correct time delays, just like your ears here.
Huh. Yeah, because unfortunately I have a pretty bad AM radio, and but listening through headphones, I definitely heard an outstanding depth difference in the entire recording process.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could say is that in a field that it looks like is starting to open up, it's nice to hear that someone's on the right track and has the right answer, and I look forward to hearing a lot more of it.
Well, we're looking forward to making the headphone tapes available for a demonstration.
I hope get a chance to meet you because I'm a high-tech
person. In fact, let me point this out to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
All those who purchased the first Optophonics tape
mm-hmm.
from us, we are sending the headphone tape free to them because we want them to see what the world of Optophonics is really like in a set of headphones.
Do you have a number or an address available that I can...
Yeah, you can write to Bedini Electronics, P.O. Box 769, San Fernando, California, 91341.
And
I want to keep everybody aware. That's why I'm giving them the second tape, and then we'll do other tapes after that.
And can I have the zip code again, please?
91341.
341. I hope I get to meet you because I'm a high technologies investigator and I deal in a number of state-of-the-art technologies of which I've been a...
I'll give you a phone number.
Oh, please do.
Area code 818
367-7762. 62. My name is Roger Bebo and you will be hearing from me and thank you very much.
Okay,
and I look forward to talking to you.
All right.
Nice to talk to you, Roger. And let's see what Steve has on his line. Steve?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. Well, what I did, I'm an audio engineer. I taped it off just to nothing but a straight Hayatachi one-speaker radio,
mm-hmm.
mono.
Right.
And doesn't play cassette, just plays mono. And I threw that tape immediately because I have a bunch of equipment in my room. And I threw it in another tape deck and played it off a three-speaker mono on three speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening really closely. It almost sounded like an FM, like it was coming out of FM radio.
Imagine that.
And not only that, but even though the voice did have some slight fading in some places, the voice and some of the music seemed like it not only got louder in places in the speakers, but it moved. It almost like it went from the top to the middle.
That's
it's
right.
It's hard for me to exactly explain right now because I only listened to it one time.
It was.
But it moved in the three speakers that I've set up. So
that's the optical scan beams.
Right? I don't know, but it was, and it sounded very clear for AM radio. I'm really surprised. So
well,
you got an okay from me. That's all.
Get used to it at KABC.
Oh, that's great.
All right.
And I had an out of body experience, by the way. That's interesting.
Well, you'll have to get back to it.
I know.
All right.
I had fun with it. Okay, thanks a lot.
Right. Thank you, Steve.
Bye.
I want to hear about that. And Mitch, you're on.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing fine.
good. Another big thumbs up on that. I was listening on a small Sony AM stereo receiver.
All right, you've got the Sony AM, right?
And it was incredible. I kept switching back between AM stereo and the mono, and I even flipped it over to FM, and it sounded even better than the FM did.
Did you stick your earphones in?
No, didn't stick the earphones in, but it's a small enough radio where I just held it close enough so I was almost had my nose up against the radio.
All right.
So I just had it coming in, and it just sounded incredible. And I can't wait to hear more of it.
Okay. It is very pleasing to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite interesting. And I turned on the clock radio to hear it on the little speaker there. But that the AM stereo is definitely something that's on the way up.
You should hear the tapes that John makes, especially for your car stereo in Optophonics. Everybody in the car hears the same thing.
Where are
in the back seat?
Where are they available at?
With John.
Just through him.
You can get the box that makes your own car stereo sets over there.
Terrific.
Come off your source material, process it just for the car, and everybody in the car will hear stereo, and you don't have to balance it because it's the same.
Sounds good. Okay, I'll let you go on.
All right, thank you very much, Mitch. I appreciate your input. And we have Paul here.
Yes, I'm listening to it on a Fisher unit. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at a table. I'm quite close to the unit, and it amazed me if that is AM, as you call it, AM. This is a stereo unit, and of course in stereo, sometimes I hear the voice from the left speaker and music from the right or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I got the impression that this was coming out of the whole front of the unit almost, as if it were not located in any one spot or any one speaker coming out of it. Now,
that's exactly right.
I know nothing about electronics or anything like that, but what my ear told me is something different than I expected to hear. It's rather amazing, but I just got the impression it's coming out of the whole front of this unit.
Yes.
Incidentally, I tape all your programs, Bill.
Well, thank you very much.
And I've been doing it for 2 years.
I may want to get back to you.
How about that?
All right.
Okay, fine.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Appreciate that. And we have Paul on. Paul? Our Stewart, you're on.
Yes, Bill. I heard something that was very interesting. And after describing what it is, I'd like to ask your guest a question.
Yes.
It is simply this, that now I am a musician and I listen to stereo all the time. And I don't know if it is an illusion on my part, but I had the one speaker on. And, of course, the station itself is not stereo. And
where we are, if you have a con receiver.
Pardon?
If you have a con stereo, AM stereo receiver, we're stereo. But you
I see. Well, I do not have that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it did sound like stereo. I don't know if the different volume levels of the different parts of it made a difference, but it seemed to me that something I was listening to was a little out of the ordinary. That's how I would put it.
All right.
And now the question is this. Is this gentleman familiar with the spirit voices on tape?
No, yes. I'm not.
Oh, yes, the spirit com voices.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes, right.
Yeah. Well, now, a book was written by Scott Rogel on, telephone calls from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those are quite well documented. And the voices in this case are so different from the occasional voice, you know, a word or two or a short sentence that comes through from the tape recorder, as though, you know, the power builds up and then it collapses, builds up and collapses. What happens is, on the telephone messages, the story is something like this. You get a phone call, you answer the phone, and right after that, you're talking to an old friend, maybe for 10 or 15 minutes at a time. You hang up. Later on, you discover that he died long before this telephone call could have been made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was continuous communication. Could that part of the system be separated from the main line, and then people might be able to sit, you know, with whatever system that is, which is something different from the ordinary tape reception, and get extended messages? Or do you think perhaps the reason that you can get extended messages when on the phone is because the phone is hooked up to other parts of the line which extend out indefinitely into...
Well, I think you played a little mental leapfrog here with me, Stuart. What does that have to do with Optophonics?
What does it have to do with optimality? Well, I thought that this gentleman might be able to answer something pertaining to something that is also remarkable involving sound.
Oh, yes, the phone calls from the dead. Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Well, I can only answer this one question, Bill, that technically these two-phased beams that were optically 180 degrees out, you should have not heard anything. If you have a mono receiver, you should have heard nothing.
Well, I heard something that did sound, it could be illusory on my part, and yet I'm not likely to think that way, because I was skeptical to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But I did seem to hear something equivalent to stereo. That's all I can say.
Well, that's exactly the illusion that it should have presented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. Keep at it.
And it should have gave you a center at the same time.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stuart. And we'll be playing something, Stuart, I think you'll enjoy in just a second. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. About 3 years ago, in the ongoing experimentation I do with all of the strange things that go on, I allowed myself to be hypnotically regressed. I played some of these tapes a couple of years ago and have received thousands of requests to play them again. These will be ones that I have never played before. And what happened in this particular session, I was totally under. I started talking as if I was in the future. And it's quite eerie. So John took time to master this in optophonics. So we kind of have a 1-2 punch for you. And if you're listening on the AM con system, and if you put on your headphones, you will hear things happening behind you and in front of you and beside you and above you and all around you. Otherwise, you will be hearing just a different sound on AM radio. But the sound is of me in a hypnotic progression. Now, I have no way of validity. I was telling one whale of a story under hypnosis. That's all I can say. The psychic hypnotist who was involved in this with me was Asoldi Bauer. And she was asking me some questions. We'll play just a little bit of this. And do I know you? It's okay if I play this. Okay. And this will be also in optophonics. I hope you enjoy it, and it's a strange, strange tale that I told. And listening back to it for the first time, because I have no recollection of what I said, was strange. But I think what brought this on, she had painted a picture of me, and then a number of other faces appeared in some sort of a psychic way, which he attributed to other lives. And the idea was to find out about that other picture, that other face. And I picked out the one I want. It had kind of a little space helmet on it, naturally. I was kind of interested in that. And we ended up well into the future, looking back on this time period. So good luck to us all, and I hope you enjoy.
Done in optophonic sound, with no editing whatsoever, all the normal sounds of Bill's living room will be heard.
Yeah, because it is a matter of a rather ancient history, a very small speck of time, a thing of importance. Were those events that led to the marvelous transformation of Earth? And historically, significance in the 80s. '90s, as I try to recall that period, the overall significance of it was the explosion of technology that happened not only among what was referred to then as the superpowers, but to the other nations that were existing at that time. as well. And there was some significance in that. For it really marked a kind of turning point in the events of the world, and for me was a realization. For the most part, but the technology could do great good, but it could also do great damage. And it was during this period that there was the beginning of the realization that the damage the technology could do exceeded even their wildest dreams. There were those in the scientific community who rebelled at the use of the technology. But the words, as they recall, were not heeded that much, for scientists always, once they have discovered a new scientific principle which is in turn used for destruction, have rebelled at the use of their scientific discovery in this way.
Well, I have to interrupt that story. That this was done 3 years ago. I was under hypnosis at the time, and it was recorded for you in optophonics, which is kind of interesting, but I have to do some business, and we'll be right back.
Something new has happened
to optophonics, and we have been relating this to the sounds you hear on the other side, right, Diane?
Mm-hmm.
She says it's very familiar to her because you have been out of body a lot.
That's true.
Hmm.
Like seeing all sides of the self at the same moment.
So the sound is there.
Mm-hmm. And sounds sometimes by people that have been out of body are very different, too. What they hear
mm-hmm.
and how they perceive them sometimes is much different than can happen in the physical body.
So we have a different kind of perception that's happening here, but we're now doing it electronically. We may even could get
mm-hmm.
you closer to going out
right.
of body.
Right. Might help me get out. Who knows?
You're on Talk Radio 79 KABC.
Miss Angela Lansbury.
And we had a quite interesting first hour, a little bit different. And again, we want to thank our guest tonight, Diane Morrissey, who gave up an hour so that we could conduct our test with optophonics and the sounds of the future that you were hearing there in one of their earliest moments in the history of broadcasting. We hope you enjoyed those. And certainly we think you'll be hearing a lot more of it as it goes. Diane, you said something very, very interesting to me, that the sound was quite similar to the sounds you hear when you're out of body.
They're different. It's a whole different perception when one listens with the ears and, so to speak, the eyes and the mind of the soul rather than the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And people have many different kinds of perceptions, sort of hearing sound all around or maybe hearing no sound at all when they have really no problem with hearing. Being aware that there isn't any sound when they're out of body.
Mm.
So it can be both ways.
It can be very quiet.
Yes,
I would imagine.
Uh-huh. Very quiet.
The silence is deafening. In a way.
Sometimes when a person talks to another person, it is all telepathic within the mind. So two people getting out of body simultaneously can speak back and forth to each other telepathically and understand the question before the question is even portrayed in the mind of the other person. And back and forth.
That does happen quite often. You know what the other person is going to say. It gets to be kind of a boring conversation. You just nod your head, you got the answer, and back and forth again. It does happen. What is the great value in studying, as your group does, the near-death experience? What are we learning out of that would be helpful in this living experience that we hopefully are enjoying?
Well, I think more and more it shows that for the hard-headed skeptic, that there is something on the other side, that when death actually ensues into the physical body, that possibly it doesn't die, but instead just changes into a different form and goes to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And So I do believe this is true. I believed in the hereafter before, but a little bit differently than I do now, certainly.
Uh-huh.
And it's much more important now and a lot more significant in my life. And IANS, which stands for the Institute for the Advancement of Near-Death Studies, also is a support group for those people who've had an out-of-body or a near-death experience. And can I share when we meet?
Sure.
We meet the first Saturday of every month at the Santa Fe Springs City Library. And if people want more information or a schedule to find out what we talk about at the meetings or what we do, they can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to Diane Morrissey at P.O. Box 4241, Santa Fe Springs, or call me at 213-692-6556, and I'd be happy to answer that question. Sometimes people are afraid to call in, but I hope they won't be. And sometimes that first out-of-body experience can be quite terrifying, because the first perception is that when they look from above and glance down at the physical body, sometimes people say the first time, "Oh, my God, my physical body's dead." And when, in fact, they are simply out of body and not necessarily close to death, and then a perception in the spirit, or this part that is out of body, this astral body, has an inner knowing instantly. My goodness, I'm just sleeping on the bed and I'm really okay. But now, how do I get back in my body?
I'm trying to figure out how to get out of my body. Find out what you guys are talking about.
We've got to get you to come to one of my classes so that you can get out.
Oh. Well, if you have some questions for Diane about the near-death experience, and there's a lot more to understanding that, I think, than just to learn the ways of getting out of body. Let me give you the numbers again in Los Angeles. 520, toll on the line. Cheryl, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so glad to be able to get through tonight.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
Yes. Well, I wanted to ask a question to Diane.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the moment of separation from the body.
You mean you're trying to remember that, but you just suddenly find that you're out.
Yes,
and
usually, yes.
You'd like to remember the process.
Yes. What happens usually is I give myself a suggestion, and I am aware of losing awareness of the room and the noise in the room, but then suddenly I'm out, and I don't remember how I got there, and I'd like to remember that process. It's almost like I totally forget it because I can't face it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I wondered if that was correlated with something around, you know, the moment of death and being upset about the moment of death and not wanting to experience that death.
No. Well, at least you got out, Cheryl.
Yes.
I don't think so. Many people who've had near-death experiences and frequently, Cheryl, talk about the blackness or this interruption in consciousness where they're suddenly aware that they are cognizant of the now and being aware that they missed something just recently, so that they skip something. They're actually aware that they just missed something and they're suddenly awake. Sometimes people are aware that what they missed was a tremendous black void. And some people pass through this black void before they enter the tunnel to the white light. And so maybe this is what you're kind of missing. Some people who have experienced this blackness feel a little uncomfortable in it, and maybe if you're a little uncomfortable in that blackness, you find yourself suddenly just out. Okay. And that's okay. Sometimes the lack of sound, in other words, knowing that you can't hear anymore a physical sound, is sometimes people's first awareness, like yourself, knowing that you're suddenly out.
Oh.
And so that you're doing the right thing to get it. And if you want to pay more attention, the best way is to just stay still and not move the physical body at all.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to lay on your sides, but on the back. That,
yes.
That seems to help a little more.
Yes, I seem to be laying on the back usually.
Uh-huh.
But my question is, this whole thing has really changed my life in a way I couldn't even begin to tell you.
That's true.
However, what's next, Diane? Where do I go from here? I mean,
reading some books and send me a envelope, and I'd be happy to mail you my schedule and come to some of my classes and learn more about it.
How's it changed your life, Cheryl?
Well, things just don't matter the way they used to.
That's true.
You know, relationships between people and my children have the emphasis on little personal things that I used to get upset about and things like that, you know, little daily things that everyone has, that, you know, they just don't mean anything to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time they go completely unnoticed is one thing.
True. For many people, the things that didn't matter now do, and just the reverse is true for the things that they cared a great deal for before.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, experiencing some, new experiences and wish to contact other people who are having the same experiences but don't know really where to turn. I am reading some books, some of the Seth material by Jane Robertson, some of Robert Monroe's books and things like that, but...
We have an out-of-body class coming up. I already have 97 enrolled in it. So send me a little line.
Okay.
And I'll send you a schedule. And if you want a book list, send a request for that, and I'll mail you a book list of good books to read on out-of-body experiences.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, and much peace to both of you.
Okay, thank you. Cheryl.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. With me tonight is Diane Morrissey. We're talking about the near-death and out-of-body experience between now and midnight, and you're invited to jump right in and get in on the discussion. On Talk Radio 79 KABC is with me, and Laurie is on the line. Laurie, welcome aboard.
Hi. Okay, I almost went out of my body waiting for you. I'm getting so nervous.
Everybody's doing it but me.
Okay, well, I've never been out of my body, but I want to ask the question. So what you're saying is that there's an existence after death, some type of existence after death. Okay, I experienced something that makes me believe, you know, this is so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My husband passed away, and I felt, I know that I had an experience that told me that there was something there. He was there, and it wasn't in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Did you see him sort of as you
all
were
right,
drifting to sleep?
Okay, here's what happened. He'd been in a coma for a week, and... in the early morning hours when he died, well, I hadn't realized it. I woke up. It wasn't like I dreamt it. I woke up to see his face in front of me on the wall,
mm-hmm.
looking down, not even looking at me. His eyes were closed. His face looked gaunt. His mouth was open. And I turned the light on to look at the time. I didn't think to call the hospital. The next thing I knew, I was sleeping. I woke up, and the hospital called and said he had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the time span was.
Did the clock stop when he died?
No.
Uh-huh. That's something that happens quite often, too.
In fact, I wasn't even aware of when I was really awake or whatever in that, you know, whatever state I was in. I don't even remember what time it was that I had looked at the clock. Next thing I know, I looked at the time. Then I must have gone back to sleep, and the next thing, the phone rang, and it was the doctor telling me he passed away at 2:20, which was close to the time. Then after that, there was a scent.
A what?
A scent, a smell.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Okay. At first, it was like I couldn't figure out where it was coming from, and I would walk through the house. I would stand in the doorway talking to my daughter. There was that scent. I go into the bathroom. I go into another room of the house. I think, well, maybe there's something in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a distasteful or anything. It was just something that I couldn't, a scent I couldn't put my finger on.
Can you tell me sort of what you thought it smelled like?
I'm still trying to figure out what it was like. It was like, you know, I was washing. Then I was at the sink washing a plastic bowl. And I thought, oh, that's what it kind of smells like. It's the bowl. Then I went back to the bowl later, and the bowl didn't smell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like I've gone down the freeway, and it's very safe that because it's passed since he's gone. It's been about 2 months.
Uh-huh.
I've gone down the freeway, and on each side of the freeway that I drive, there's a lot of foliage.
Mm-hmm.
And a vague smell of that foliage is reminiscent of that smell.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe clothes on a line or something.
Some people say it smells like sulfur occasionally,
no.
A light sulfur,
no.
Or sometimes like wet ashes. And I've heard from perfume to specific fragrances that a person wore and then being aware that their presence is around.
Okay.
And
so other people have experienced this then.
Yes. Don't feel alone on this. It happens.
Mm-hmm.